And we certainly thank you for the seniors, and we pray a blessing over them. And, you know, as they step out into this life, you would use them in a powerful way, protect them and guide them. And we just ask you to intervene in a powerful way. I do thank you for their parents, too, that have just sacrificed for them in every way. And I just pray a blessing upon them also. So, Lord, just meet with us this morning as we look into your word, and you be our teacher. Give us understanding, Lord, and just pray and anoint me that I just speak words of the Spirit and each heart would be open to receive. And so we give thanks to you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody notice the title. Memorize it. Write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. My wife and I have this little thing going. She gives me encouragement after my messages. And her encouragement before my message is make it practical, which is really difficult for me a lot of times. I kind of like to float in the clouds without making that decision. But anyway, well, we're going to hit practical this morning. I mean, it's just, you can't help but just go practical. And this is just the truth. I mean, it's just a truth. Hardship is discipline. And it's a truth that nobody in here, not one soul, can slip out of. Not happening. It's just not happening, you know. And it reminds me of Psalms 139. It says, I went up to the highest mountain, you were there. I went in the deepest valley, you were there. I went in the water, you were there. I'm just telling you, it's there. You know, this is a Christian lesson, you know, how God works. And so we're going to look at it and just say, you know, it's good to pay attention because it just is. You know, sometimes I see something when I'm in the clouds, you say, I don't know if that's true. I'm not. And you just kind of, you know, not paying attention, which is just fine. And it's okay if you don't pay attention to this one, too. But I'm just telling you, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's going to happen. No matter what you believe, it's going to happen, okay, as believers. And you'll find out we have a special place as believers. It's going to happen to believers. So the opening verse here is Hebrews 12:7. Hebrews 12:7. Thus saith the Lord, endure hardship is discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Now, I didn't plan this for Father's Day, but isn't it good for Father's Day? Quote right here. God goes, no, this is what it's supposed to be. This is the truth. This is what it's supposed to be. Now, as we look at this, as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, you know, this is a good standalone verse. You can just open your Bible, pick them, and just speak on this verse. It's a standalone verse. However, again, like I've said before, when you put it in context with Hebrews and how we're coming through Hebrews, we can see in that connection there's a really deeper motive to this whole subject. So we get a bigger picture of this whole subject when we think it's coming in context with all of Hebrews. And what I mean is, like, the first 10 chapters, it's just showing us the deeper secrets of Christ, the deep secrets of Christ. The first 10 chapters, everybody should just like, wow, you know. And so God is telling us all those things. And so that's what the lead-in is to this. We understand the majesty of Christ. And then it hits chapter 11, and it says, here's all these people of faith that incorporated this and lived out this faith. So in chapter 11, and then starting in chapter 12, it says, okay, now you know this information. You need to make decisions based on this information. Amen? Now the verse. Now it comes. Now the verse. Now we learn that God is personally involved in our discipline and training. He says, okay, you got this, right? 10, wow. 11, faith, whoa. 12, whoa. He goes, okay, now I'm involved. I'm involved. I'm going to do some work. And so he's telling us about it up front. you know. And so we are, well, that, isn't that a, that's a pleasant thing, right? God is going to personally involve, and he's going to do some work with us. I've had problems with God's work on me. What we notice here, disciplines is not punishment. Okay, discipline, in biblically, when it talks about, it's not talking about punish. It's not talking about punishment. Discipline is training. Discipline is training. Now again, we're going to look at who's doing the training. You know, God is treating you as children. He's doing the training. He's actually doing something. We say, oh God, please come. I want to see you. I go, really? Because he's going to do some training. You know, oh, I'm just going to wrap my arms around you, all in your shortcomings and all your sins, and, you know, and just hug and kiss you. You know, yeah, I'm going to train you out of that. I'm going to train you out of that. And see, this is what he's saying. No, how do you do that? He said, I'm coming to do it. All right. There's no maybe here. There's no maybe here. It is going to happen. And here it is, in case we don't think we deserve it. Through discipline, God teaches us so we will grow in the likeness of Jesus. You kidding me? I mean, I compare myself to Greg all the time. So I can do better than Greg. I said, you know, I mean, so I don't need much discipline when they compare me to Greg. But with Jesus, what do you mean? Jesus, you can't compare me to Jesus. Of course, Jesus is whispering in my ear, so you just wait. Greg's better than you are in a lot of areas, so I just got a lot of work to do with you to get you as good as Greg. So, oh God, I wish I hadn't said that. But you see what I said? But you see the dynamic that's what's happening. He said, no, I'm going to teach you to grow in the likeness of Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal. You say, well, I'm better than my neighbor. Who cares? God doesn't. You're supposed to be like Jesus. See, so the whole, but you see, this is the dynamic that's coming to that God's saying, I'm personally going to be involved in your life, your life. And what frustrates me, he'll be involved in my life, but not my neighbor's life. And I'm way better than my neighbor. Why are you picking on me? You know, pick on him. You see, anyway, y'all going with me as I'm saying the process is. Now, so we see this, that God is, he is our teacher. But that's his purpose. You know, we think, well, where are we going? Jesus is where we're going. See, it's like, And I'm just messing with you, but I'm just making a point. How many in here think you are doing as well as Jesus? Hand raise. And as soon as you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to leave. What are you doing? Hand raise. Well, no, I'm not. I'm not doing as good. I'm not like Jesus. He said, I know, that's the reason I will discipline you, because that's where we're going. That's where we're always going. We don't get there. We're always going there, you know. And I talk, share a lot about the old pastor I used to know, and you know, missionary, one of the most godly people I ever saw, unbelievable, Pastor Milliken. And he says, you know, I says, wow, you know, make a comment, says, you know, I can't imagine, you know, how you walk with God, and you're so impressive. And he'd go, no, I'm just a sinner. I fall short. And I thought, oh my God, if he falls short, I mean, I can't even tell you where I am if he's falling short. See, but he had a concept of, no, I understand who I'm compared to. See, I know who I'm compared to. Now, it even, and the Old Testament even says this. This is a great verse in the Old Testament. Look, if you will, at Isaiah 48:17. We have an overhead here. Isaiah 48:17. It says this. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you. You know, kind of what I'm sharing with Braden. No, I'm not interested in what's good for you. I'm interested in what's best for you. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is best for you. Then who directs you in the way you should go. See, he's moving us from good to best, so he can teach us where to go. I just want to get there, kind of slip in, you know, and go, do you take me where to go? He said, no, well, I can do this, that's pretty good. He said, no, that's not what, I want you to go best, and that's how I want, then I'll direct you. So, well, how do I get to best? I'll work with you. I'll discipline you, and I'll get you to best. Get you to best. Now, really, you know, I think about our seniors as they left. I mean, this would be a good verse for them. This would be a good verse for your seniors right here. This would be an excellent verse. Isaiah 48:17. You know, to remind them, you know, to move, that God wants to direct them, but he's taking them past good to best. That's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. Now, so we see this whole picture of what God is telling us. I mean, this is real practical. This is for everybody. For everybody. Biblical discipline, it's, as you read this in Hebrews, is God actively teaching us what is best so that he can direct us in the way we should go. God, teach me. All right, let me teach you. Let me take you from good to best. Let me give you some hardships, and you can work through that. I'll teach you, go good from best. Then I'll direct you. No, that's not what I ask. I just want you to take me there the way I am. And I don't want to hurt, you know. And I certainly don't want to go through any hardships. I don't know if any of y'all ever thought that. I think that a lot. It's like, God. So when you see this picture, and this is something God's doing, you know, this is not something we do, okay? This is something he does to teach us to do so he can direct us. See, God uses hardships, struggles, and suffering to discipline us and train us. How many of you said, God, why? This is why. He said, I'm teaching you. God, why can't my husband be better? Because I'm teaching you. God, why can't my wife be better? Because I'm teaching you. I really think she needs more teaching than I do. Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. Your whole mind is like, what's that? Why don't I have a better boss? Because I'm teaching you. Why don't you teach him something? He's messing this thing up. No, I'm teaching you something. It's like amazing. It's amazing. So when we recognize that through hardship, struggles, and suffering that God is training us, we will learn to endure discipline. We'll learn. Okay, this is what's happening. I will learn through this discipline. I will learn through this hardship. If we understand it, if we don't understand it, it's going to happen anyway. We'll just complain and gripe and not grow. And he'll go, need to teach him some more hardship. Well, how do I get out of this hardship? Learn from this hardship. God goes, I ain't quitting and I'm tougher than you. See? He's like, you're not going to win this battle. You're just not going to win this battle. And so we recognize that God is at work through hardships. We are motivated to persevere in times of trouble. Now, do you see the context here, the hardship, and we see God in the hardship, no matter what it is, okay? We see God in the hardship, in the suffering. All right, Lord, you're doing something. I don't know what it is, but I can persevere because I know you're doing something. And these verses are saying, I'm doing something. He's telling us, I'm doing something. Get with my program. You want me to work? I'm working. I'm working. So when you view this, hardships, now this is, you just got to love this. You just got to love this. Hardships are evidence that God loves us. I feel so loved so much. You feeling some love? You know? God, yeah, man. I love you, so I'm working with you, you know. You know, it kind of goes back to discipline your kids. I love this Proverbs. It says, discipline your children. You know, it even says, like, spank them. He goes, they won't die. I mean, God said that. He said, they won't die. See, what do you think he's saying? He goes, you won't die. God, I'm going to die. He goes, no, you won't. You just think you're going to die. You see, but you see the dynamic, the dynamic he's telling us here. So listen to this verse. Look at Hebrews 5:12-6. Thus says the Lord. God says this. He's asking a question. You ought to know, is kind of what he's saying. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? The scripture says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. He loves you so much. He loves you bunches. You know? You're not going to die. So, he loves us, and our hardship is evidence that he loves us. He's doing something. He's doing something. And he said, I need you to get with what I'm doing. Look at what I'm doing in you. Look at what I'm doing in you. See, and this whole section here, it's amazing when you start looking at it. This particular verse in Hebrews is a reference to Proverbs chapter 3, 11 through 12. And it's telling us that God loves us and refines us through the heat of difficulties. He refines us through the heat of difficulties. Refining our discipline comes through heat. I've joked with you before, the Lord has over the years, the older you get, you have more opportunity for more trainings, you know, and especially if you don't pay any attention, you really have a lot of more opportunity for more training. And I always told the Lord, why don't you just give me a pamphlet? You know, this is what you do. Just read this pamphlet. You know, and say, I'm into a pamphlet. I am not into pain. I'm just not into pain, you know. But the Lord says, no, Wallace, discipline comes through heat. It comes through heat. You need more than a pamphlet. Than a pamphlet. See, look, if you will, there's no overhead, but it says this in Proverbs 17:3. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart by applying heat. Now, I added applying heat. That's not in the verse, but that's understood. So listen to it again. God says, the crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart by applying heat. Why this heat? Why these hardships? Because I'm making pure silver. I'm making pure gold. And oh my God. God refines us or disciplines us to remove dross in order to produce pure, valuable vessels for his use. Proverbs 25:4. I don't have an overhead, but Proverbs 25:4. Remove the dross from the silver, and the silversmith can produce a vessel. Do you see the logic? what God is telling them. Now remember, the logic, when he's going through this logic, he's telling them, this is what I'm doing to you. I'm doing this to you. I just want you to understand what I'm doing to you. And I'm doing it for a reason. Oh, when I came to know the Lord, I just accept Christ and I'm forgiven of my sin and everything's going to work out perfectly. Well, no, it didn't. God, what's wrong? I don't understand. He said, well, the one thing you got right is you don't understand. That's what you got right. And I'm going to do something. You don't, yeah, I love you. Yeah, you're going to heaven. But I'm not done yet. I'm not done. Okay? That's what Hebrews said. I'm not done. You see, oh, the majesty of Christ and the people of faith. Yeah. He goes, I'm going to make you like one of them. I don't want to be like one of them, you know. You know, it says these women endured tough. These women endured, and it says women endured torture so they receive a better resurrection. I said, Lord, I just want to skip the torture and just kind of go with the resurrection. You know, he said, no, it didn't work that way. It did that. And it tells that they will receive a better resurrection. Well, how do you receive a better? I mean, you're in or you're out. I mean, how do you receive a better resurrection? He says, because there's gifts and glories on the other side that are given based on your activity here. And for me to use you for my purpose here, I need to refine you so that you could do and behave like Jesus so I can use you for my glory. My glory. That's not hard to understand, is it? No, but that's painful. Why would you want me to go through pain? I mean, God goes, that's not, you don't understand. You don't understand. My brother Richard, he and I love to talk about football, you know. And we got to the point, we've talked so much about it, we start lying to each other what we used to do, you know. I mean, man, we're all Americans between us. You know, talk about, you know. But you think about these football players, and as you get up in the college, and the intensity of the training. If you ever watch these, the intensity of the training, I don't care who he is or how great he is, they will say that the training was absolutely excruciating. And some of them stick in better than others. Some stick in better than others and go far. But they say the training was absolutely, all the one. They'll say it's painful. And God, that's right. See, the training that I'm going to put you in will be painful, but there's a glory of my direction and my involvement when you go. Now, and he has tailor-made the hardships for us. You know, he said, I will know where to take you, where you're going to be. You're going to have to call upon me, and it's going to challenge you to the nth degree. And as you go through that, then I'm going to take you and guide you into glory here on earth. I mean, I think there's a blessing here on earth, but certainly there's treasures in heaven. But you see what he's saying. You can't have a bunch of, hey, who wants to play football? You know, everybody raise their hands, you pray over them, they do the football prayer, and then you go in there and they play in the NFL. Well, that's insane. It's insanity for Christianity. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. No, I'll train you. Or you can play, but I'm going to train you to play. You know, you're going to know. You can train you to play. Now, I have story. I've told this story before. I've told this, but I'm going to share it again because it fits so well. And actually, I've heard this story retold, different pastors, and they tell this same story. I mean, they stole my story. But I am going to say, I believe I was present the first time this story was told. I really do. And not that it makes a big difference, except I want all the credit. in Los Angeles on a business trip, and I thought, well, I had to stay there, so I'm going to go to this church, this big church. They had evening service. I walked in, and this guy was giving his testimony, and he was saying, I've been through so much pain and stress and discipline, and it just, I'm in the furnace of fire of refining. And he said, I just said, God, when can I learn the lessons? When will the fire turn out? When will you turn the fire down? So he started that. And he told this story is his testimony. So I just want to tell you, I heard it from him. Okay. Well, here's the story. And so I'm sitting there listening to him in Los Angeles, in this church, just sitting in the back, just for, you know, hearing the message. And so he was going through this terrible time. And he happened to be in India. He went to India, and he was touring India, and he was in the villages, and there's a silversmith, and he was refining silver like they did for 100 years. You know, he's just refining. And what they do, these big vats, you know, poor village, and they have these big vats. They build up this fire, and they put all this metal and stuff in here, and what they do, they heat it, and of course, if you know, silver is heavier than the metals around it. So they heat it up, and the silver melts to the bottom is the heat, and the dross comes to the top. So this dross comes to the top. And so he's watching this, and so when the dross, when the metal goes down, melts and dross comes, he has a spoon, a shovel line, and he scrapes this dross over the off the top and throws it off the side. Then he heats it, and there's more of the this dross, because it's softer, comes up, the heavier metal goes down, and so he'll cover, take the dross off and throw it a while off, and he just keeps heating it until the silver's pure, you know, and he gets all the dross off. And so the guy goes, that's what the Lord's doing. He said, I'm going to ask this old man, how do you know when to turn the fire down? How do you know when to stop the refining? How do you know when to turn the fire down? So he asked him, and the old man says, when I can look over in it and see my reflection. When will Jesus turn the fire down? When he can look over at us and see his reflection. How we get there? Hardship, suffering, and discipline. Whoa. Now, and so what we see here, again, the principle, this is what God's doing. You can say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, so just leave the fire going. You know, we actually think we have a vote. We actually think we have a vote, don't we? You know, well, I don't want to do that. You know, I just want to love you and go to heaven. He goes, ain't happening. This is not going to happen. It's not. You take me at the grain of salt. You say, you see these miserable Christians that don't grow? That's why. That's why. See? Then he says, all right. You're not going with it. You're not going with the problem. We just leave this sucker burning. Look over. I can't see nothing but mud. All right, turn the fire on. I'm not doing nothing. Fine. Turn it up. And you hit in, you know, 50 years later, an old bitter Christian. Why? I'm not changing. All I've been through is problems. And I hate every person that caused them. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. All right, so here we are. Well, where does that put us? Okay, the truth is that the truth of the whole thing is hardship is discipline. God is discipline, and he will discipline. We can't get out of discipline. Now, our response to discipline, we have a choice about that. A choice, and we, when we see God move, then we make a choice for him, and it gives us strength to persevere, and then we grow. Then we grow, see? And so this is what God's trying to tell us. And so when we look at this, And there's not any circumstances, not any circumstances beyond God's control that he can't use. How many of you are in a circumstance, well, God didn't have anything to do with this? Well, that's not what this says. Well, that's unseen right. And I go, who asked you? You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. So, your thing, your reason is not to make sense of this. Your reason is to obey me and look to me and learn the lessons and be like Jesus in this situation. And that's kind of what Jesus showed us in his life. So again, he says, I go back, we're in the glories of Hebrews 1 through 10. Hallelujah. I love to stay in Hebrews 10. Faith is cool. First part of 12, yeah, I should make some decisions. I don't like this worth a flip. I don't like it. God, I don't like, I mean, you did good first 11 chapters, but you just kind of, you know, you're kind of messing with us now. You know, you mean you got some requirements you're putting on us, and you're not just putting requirements on us, you're in it. You're in it. And so, We cannot, now here's the lesson, we cannot discount the significance of our sufferings. That's biblical. My sufferings, what do you know about? I don't want them. That's what I think about my sufferings, don't want them. You know, as I'm teaching you, I said, Lord, I'm doing so much better than Greg, teach Greg. This teach, I know you got to see some sort of semblance of yourself when you look over, you know, it's look at me, you know, bound to. See, no. One of the biggest problems is you're worried about Greg. That tells me all I need to know, you know. But you see what's happening. He is really giving us a big picture. This is, by the way, folks, this is happening to every one of you right this second. It is happening. It is happening. Nobody can get out of this. Now, so the whole point of it is that because we can't discount the significance of our sufferings, we shouldn't lose heart in the face of God's discipline. Why? Because he is making us like Jesus. And he's going through the deepest hurts to make us just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And then it says here, God disciplines the people he loves. God, I'm mad at you, but he goes, I love you. That's why I'm doing it. I love you. That's why I'm doing it. And you go, but you have to have a faith. It's like, and he whispers in your ear, just like those people in chapter 11, I'll get you there. I'll get you there, but you're not there. I'll get you there. So God disciplines the people he loves. All God's people say, amen. And now this one, there's lessons in discipline. There's lessons. He's working. You know, when does he turn the fire down? When he looks over and looks at us and sees his reflection. He goes, okay, I can turn the fire down. And I can use them in this. So there's an end. There's an end, you know, to what he's trying to do here. Now he continues to teach us all the time. Now I'm going to share something else here, is that we should not be perplexed about people who just seem to slide through life without any problems. I can't tell you how many Christians, I would have never think this, but how many Christians would think, well, nothing happens to them. They get away with everything. Why do they just go through and have no problems? I don't understand why they don't have any problems, and so-and-so so good, and he has problems, and these people don't have problems, and I just don't understand that. Well, we shouldn't be perplexed, because Hebrews 12:8 says this, It just says this. Listen closely. This is the answer to your question. This is the reason these people don't have problems. Hebrews 12:8 says, I don't have an overhead. If people are not disciplined, they are not true sons and daughters. And the Lord and the Father feels no responsibility for them. I ain't worried about them. Why are you worried about them? Well, you don't diss them. No, I don't love them. Now that's, Wallace, you shouldn't have said that. I didn't. God did. Well, that's not, he shouldn't have said that. Well, I'll let you take that up with Jesus. See, he goes, they're not suffering because God doesn't feel any responsibility for them. Let them have at it. I'm working with you because I love you. I'm going to make something out of you. I'm going to make something out of you. I mean, these kids up here, young adults, you know, what did we all say to them, basically? God's going to make something out of you. Now, we were real nice about it, but that's what we said. We said, God's going to make something out of you. And that is a good thing. Therefore, in your heart, we should feel privileged that we have all God's attention. Amen? Oh, God, he's giving me all this attention. You know, we think, I think I got a brand new house, brand new car, you know, and all my kids are making straight A's. We're going to the best schools in the world. He goes, well, no, I ain't paying attention to them. It's like, what do you mean? The plumbing broke in the house. The kids wrecked the car, you know, and they got rejected from the school they applied to. Why? I said, I love you. I'm saying, you know, I just, but Ken, this is my prayer. I said, God, love on Greg. Tear his house up. Just love him. You know, just give me time to fix the plumbing in mine at least. You see what's happening here? It is a fascinating It's a fascinating view that he gives us. Now, let's again, you know, says, wait a minute. What's human? And I actually love this. I actually love doing this because you share something like this and say, this is just too much. You know, it's too much. And you, someone could say, Wallace, this is just too much. And I just say this all the time. I kind of snicker to myself. I go, I didn't say it. God said, don't get mad at me. Just read it. Okay, let's get back to our opening verse here. Just read what it says. Hebrews 12:7. Do you believe this? Endure hardships is discipline. God is treating you as his children. There it is. Wallace. He said it. Now, God uses hardship to teach us. People, listen, people don't like to hear this. Christians don't like to hear. God uses hardship to teach us. Well, which hardship? All of them. But God shouldn't have done that. No. I'll share this. I mean, it's the truth. And God, you know, he stopped it. But see, this is the thing, Abraham. What God said to Abraham is incomprehensible. He said, God, no, that is not right. Take your son up to the mount and sacrifice him. That's too much. That's too much suffering. That's too much pain. He takes him up, da-da-da-da-da, raises the knife up, and the angel goes, stop. Okay. Now I know you love me. It's like, there's no difference than this. It's just no difference than this. It's like, God, you're asking too much. No. I'm taking you to where you need to be so you'll be like Christ. And then I can use you. Then I can use you. So it's an amazing thing we look at. So when we understand God is continuing to teach us, we will look at our situation differently. Okay, God, you know, Linda and I get there. Oh, we'll pray, Lord, just walk us through here. I don't know what's going on. We trust you in this. We believe you're going to take care of all the situation. But right here, this looks impossible, you know, and we're focused on him. And God goes, good. Okay, you're good. You're good. I got it. You're good. But that's too much. That's too much. But God's saying here, no, it's not. Now, when we persevere, we depend on God and we learn his lessons. Y'all got it? It's hard. We depend on God and we learn his lesson. For who? You. Your world becomes you. That's who learns. Well, what? No, you. You learn. Doesn't make any difference. You learn. You. Now I work through you. I'll teach you 1 through 10. Well, you'll love 1 through 10. And you'll be like chapter 11, people of faith. And you'll make decisions because I taught you. I taught you. I took you to levels you never dreamed you'd have to go. See, it's like, Lord, indeed. Now, here's a little add-on. Now, this is really helpful. Again, God's teaching us, okay, this is not good to apply this to different people. Well, okay, I bet that's what. No, this is a lesson to you. This is a lesson to you. But also, it gives us some insight to people around us that we can be aware of. It's good to be aware of. See, even when others encounter difficulties, we know God is at work and we see their circumstances as holy ground. Y'all with me? Well, this has happened to so-and-so. So I used to think way, way, way back, well, they have a problem, you know, here I come, like the Calvary. Help them out. You know, never worked, but you know, I don't know why. I had all the answers. You know, I knew Jesus, but it didn't work out. See, but see what happens when you see that God is working, that these going through these hardships, you can, wait a minute, God's doing something, and where this person is, holy ground. And I will be careful before I step into their holy ground. You see? It's because, no, God's doing something, and I need to watch out because he's doing something, and I got to be careful. So we have to be, when other people are going through difficulties, we have to be extremely cautious that we don't interfere with what God's doing. All of us amateur fixer-uppers? No. That's not your business. How many are saying but? But. It's my fault. But. No. He said, no. You need to be cautious or you're going to interfere with what God's doing. Just think of the pain I brought you. Well, that means I can bring through this pain to somebody else. And you got to be aware, I'm in this and you can't fix it. You can't fix it. We know that these people, when they're going through these difficulties, we know God is drawing them closer so they may experience the power of God. Amen. That's what's happened to them. Same thing happened to us. And so we say, God's drawing them closer. So they didn't experience God. He's drawing them closer. So it's holy ground. And we're going to be careful as we look upon this. We look upon this. And what we do, we don't want to mess it up. Well, I want to help them so they won't hurt. And God goes, if they don't hurt, they can't get where I want them to go. And if you stop them from hurting, then you stop them from getting where I want them to go. You become part of the problem. And you mess up God's work. So it's good to know what's happening and what God is doing. What God is doing. See, we don't want to act like amateur many gods. That's what, I mean, but we're just being holy and righteous and helpful. Nope, you're not. You're acting like an amateur many god, disrupting the work of God Almighty. You're a hindrance to God's work. But that should just really relieve a lot of people. It should click on light bulbs into a lot of people about our responsibility with the people around us. We put our arm around them, we'll walk with them, and just, you know, to look to Jesus, and we're there for support. But they have to go before the Lord and be changed by the Lord in the heat of their situation, so God can look over and see His reflection in them. Not look over and see, instead of seeing them, they see you. I look over and see them. What? Get out of here. I want to see them, you know. But I'm loving Jesus. I love Him over there. You see what I'm saying? There's lessons here. It's fascinating lessons here. And it all calls it what God teaching us. We're looking to Him and discerning what's going on and cooperating with what God is doing. Do not become an amateur mini god. Anywhere. In the church, in your family, or any place else. He said, because I'm working. It's like, and then we can say, why? Some of your prophets say, why? I mean, God, this seems like a difficult situation. He said, no, it's really not. He said, it's really simple what I'm doing. It's really simple what I'm doing. See, hardships are used to teach us holiness. Holiness. They teach us to be like Jesus. Now, with all these things we just said, notice how God ends all of it. I mean, this is rough sledding, okay? This is some rough sledding. You go, oh, my, but okay, God knows it is. But listen, look at the verse of how He ends this whole section. Listen to how He ends it. Because this is the punchline of why He's doing it to us, why He's teaching through hardships, why He lets hardships happen. And even, it's hard to say, but is it how He even brings hardships on us. People say, God wouldn't do that. I know that's people that don't read the Bible tell you that. It's pastors that don't read the Bible tell you that. God doesn't bring. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Okay? But He tells us why. Simple. Why? You ready? Here it is. This is why. Hebrews 12:10, have an overhead. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. I just want to look over on the pot and see my reflection. That's it. That's all I want to do. That's it. That's it. That's it. Okay. Go around. How many of you are going, but? You're going, aren't you? But you don't understand my, but you don't, but, no, but, God wouldn't, but, no, 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 there ain't no but. And you're on the verge of being an amateur mini god. See, that's it. Your butt is being an amateur mini god. And not taking God for what He says. He says, I want you to share in my holiness. Through Jesus, He saves us and He trains us. We'll close with this. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. God is going to train you and me through heat. Greg and I were talking about and this add-on, and we were having an honest discussion. And again, the older you get, you see more of this. And just, I cannot believe the people that have fallen away that I know of. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. But I can summarize it in this. They couldn't stand the heat. They couldn't stand the heat. Mm-hmm. And he goes, he says, that's how I train you. Just the heat. The heat. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Father, we look at these. I mean, this is truly, talk about the scriptures revealing things we would never know unless you told us. And this is certainly one of them. We would never, never know this unless you told us. And you're just explaining your work that you're already doing. It's going to happen. He's already doing it. And so, Lord, we thank you that you love us that much. We thank you that you have eternity in mind. We thank you that you want to use us here until we'll reflect you. And you want us to usher us on into heaven for treasures above. And that, Lord, you love us so much. You discipline us just like a father disciplines his children because he loves them. So as he loves them, he disciplines them. Proverbs also says, if you don't discipline your children, you hate them. That's what Proverbs says. Well, I don't want to ever spank them. Then you're saying you hate them. So God, we just think you're pulling all this together, and everything you've done in our lives, each person here, everything you've done in your life, you're touching them and bringing them through the fire that they can reflect the glory of you. And so God, we all together say, God, thank you. Thank you for the trials. Thank you for the tribulations. Thank you for the lessons, God, because you are trying. You're trying to have us reflect you. And we thank you. And we give praise to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah.